This is the story of the Big Grey Man of Ben McDooey, from An Illustrated Treasury of Scottish Mythical Creatures by Teresa Breslin and Kate Leiper. All over the world there are stories about haunted mountains, tales of the Bigfoot or the Yeti, huge two-footed creatures, part man, part mythical beast, who appear to menace or give warning to travellers. Known in earlier times as Grey Men in Scotland, it is only in the last century that stories began to circulate of one such creature roaming the summit and passes of Ben McDooey, the highest peak of the Cairngorms. Some climbers say that the Big Grey Man is only a Brocken spectre, an effect that occurs when the sun reflects your own shadow into low cloud, making a great shadowy shape appear. Listen to the story and decide for yourself. This is a tale so tall, so strange, and so mysterious that I am not sure I believe it myself. At the beginning of winter, I was travelling over the Cairngorms, a massive and majestic mountain range in the highlands of Scotland. The track I followed had already felt the icy winds of the north and was partly covered by early snowfall. Some people dislike being amongst the hills. In particular, they avoid the area around Ben McDooey, finding it to be eerie and oppressive. But I scoffed at their stories of a great grey man creature roaming these slopes. Striding through the pass that day, I happily breathed the clear air of the mountain. The topmost peaks were heavy with the everlasting snow that rests there, but the sun was shining, and I sang as I marched along. Far from being alone on my journey, I had the best of company. A flash of red let me know that the deer were grazing in the distance. I spotted a brace of ptarmigan, molting their summer coat into white to blend with the backdrop, and so hopefully survive another season in this disguise. And in the heavens soared the golden eagle, master of the skies. I was not interested in hunting any of these. My haversack held plenty of food and drink, and my stomach was good and full with a fantastic breakfast. Fresh snow started to fall. This did not worry me. I was wearing heavy trousers, jumper, jacket, hat, and sturdy boots. The staff I carried was stout and my warm plaid was wrapped snug around me. Besides which, I had my emergency whistle hung around my neck. When I am hiking, I never take this off. It's there to signal my location and summon help if I have an accident. I kept climbing the track that would take me to the other side of Ben McDooey and the place where I intended to rest at nightfall. The atmosphere was calm. The mountain was still and beautiful. But there is always danger in the Scottish hills. Winter is when weather changes swift and occasionally deadly. Without warning, the snow thickened to a blizzard. Onwards I trudged, too far into the journey to turn back. I was confident to continue, for soon I would begin my descent. Half an hour I was weary, as if I had walked for hours. The snow stopped falling. I paused to drink from my bottle, and it was then that I first felt that I was not alone. Mist came swirling at my feet, and then creeping, higher and higher until it enveloped my waist, my shoulders, and finally my head. There were shapes among the swirls and eddies of the mist. They shifted, drifting here, drifting there. There! A definite form. I blinked, and it was gone. Ach, enough, I told myself. Time to be on your way. Throwing off my uneasiness, I shouldered my haversack to set forth again. Aye, I screamed. Directly in front of me loomed a huge beast with black eyes and an array of spiky horns protruding from the top of its head. I gasped. It was a stag, a monarch of the glen, bearing magnificent antlers. It pawed the ground. I must have wandered astray and blundered into a herd of hinds and fawns. Stags do not take kindly to intruders. They defend their territory violently. In an attempt to show I was no threat to it, I remained motionless. Well, the stag was not convinced. It lowered its antlers to charge at me. I was sore afraid. In a match between us, I was the weaker. I would have to be nimble to avoid being gored. Then the stag hesitated and raised its head, nostrils quivering. It sniffed the air, eyes wide and startled. I saw it tremble in fear as it stared slightly beyond me. Its whole body shuddered and it sprang, not towards me in battle, but bounding away, running for its life. So I turned. Behind me in the mist, It had gathered more densely. But in it, for the briefest second, I saw a shape. What it was, I could not say. But it was immense, much bigger than the stag. What animal was larger than a full-grown stag? My heart thudded in my chest. There was no natural creature that I could think of. "Who's there?" My voice quavered as I asked the question. There was no answer. "Will you show yourself to me?" I asked. No answer. "We could walk together," I suggested. No answer. With unsteady hands, I gripped my staff and went on. I had scarce gone 7 paces when I was aware of steps crunching through the snow, the footfall of something behind me, a firmer, deeper tread than my own. I whirled around. Within the shadows, I discerned a human shape. Well, almost human, but much wider, much taller, and with a hairy head and long arms trailing along the ground. I strove to dispel the fear flooding my mind. If I were to be killed, I would at least see whatever stalked me. So I made a step forward. It moved back. Another step by me. Again it moved back. For each step I made, it moved back. I realized that I would not get near to it. Every step it took was worth 3 of mine. I was merely wasting my energy, but I was sick of being frightened. "Get thee gone from here," I yelled. "Depart and annoy me no more." Shaking my staff, I stamped my booted feet on the ground and made a show of fierceness. The mist cleared, and it was gone. It's easy to take a wrong turn when trekking in the hills. I stumbled on, but the track was lost to me. I was sensible enough to keep heading in the right direction, but I was no longer on a safe route for walkers. The sun was out again. Sun shining on fresh snow makes the mountainside unstable. I walked faster. Suddenly, cracking like a whiplash, came the sound every mountaineer dreads, an avalanche. I glanced up. Roaring down the mountain was an enormous mass of snow, and I was in its path. Within seconds, I was caught up in the choke and tumble. Snow in my hair, my eyelashes full in my nose and my mouth. I struggled to bind my face with my plaid and curled up as the full force of the crashing snow struck me. The avalanche rolled over and over and over down the mountainside. When it eventually halted, I lay buried underneath. I had no clue whether I was upside down or back to front. Flailing my arms, I made a space in which to breathe. I knew I had but minutes to escape this trap. I grabbed a handful of snow, compressed it into a small ball, and flung it from me. Watching how it fell, I could tell which way was up and which way was down. With my bare hands, I dug a tunnel and thrust my head into the air. Snow and snow and more snow, above and about me, for miles and miles. I wormed out and dragged myself free. My plaid, my staff, my haversack, all were gone. Only my whistle remained around my neck. I floundered, waist-deep in the sea of whiteness, utterly exhausted. In despair, for I believed that I was going to die, I put my whistle to my lips and gave a feeble blow, my last desperate cry for help. Then I sank into a stupor. I awoke to a crackling sound, wood kindling, burning on a fire. I felt the warmth of it near my face. I lifted my head and opened my eyes. I could not see. I rubbed my eyes and prodded at my eyelids, but to no avail. Although my eyes were wide open, there was no sight within them. I was suffering from snow blindness. Where was I? I could hear a storm raging, yet the wind was not near me. "Hello," I called. By the echo, I guessed I was in a cave. I tried to sit up, but I was too weak. "Is there anyone there?" A low grunt in my ear. Then a hairy hand, sized more like a paw, supported me, and a vessel, by the feel of it a clay pot, was held to my mouth. I supped hot broth and fell back to sleep. The fevered sleep of the delirious. I know not what time passed. Later, I judged that I had sheltered in the cave for 3 days. For those days and nights, I was weak as a kitten. I woke and ate. I slept, protected from the elements by rough blankets over me and a mattress of straw below me, and tended to by a being I could not see. "Who are you?" I ventured once, and there was no answer. But there was no need for an answer. I knew the name of my rescuer. He was the big grey man of Ben McDooey. Pondering on my situation, I realised that he had begun to follow me when I had strayed from the track. I deduced that he summoned the mist to conceal me from the stag, and when that failed, frightened it off, as it might have killed me. He had tried to protect me because he knew I was lost. The shrill note of the whistle had alerted him to my plight, and he had brought me to this cave after the avalanche. "I would like to thank you," I told him, when I began to feel better. The big grey man of Ben McDooey growled softly. "Is there anything I could do, give you a token of my gratitude?" I asked. There was a silence. I believed the creature was thinking. Then a rustling. Hot breath close to my face. The hairs on my neck rose up. The big grey man of Ben McDooey was going to eat me. He had been feeding me and caring for me, only to make me a tastier meal. Long fingers fumbled at my neck. I quaked in terror. The big grey man of Ben McDooey lifted the string of my emergency whistle. Then a hairy paw placed the whistle into my palm. Ah! I sobbed in relief as I understood what he wanted. Removing the whistle from around my neck, I held it up. Blindly waving my hands in a flourish, I made a gesture of presenting it to my saviour. The big grey man of Ben McDooey gave a happy grunt and patted the top of my head. During that night, my sleep was disturbed. I opened my eyes. Something was different. The wind had stopped. Dawn light was breaking at the entrance to the cave. Glory be! The storm was over. I sat up. Dawn. Light. I could see again. Happiness swept through me. I slept once more and enjoyed the sweetest rest I'd had for days. It was late morning before I awoke properly. Sunlight was pouring into the cave. In trepidation, I raised my head to face the big grey man of Ben McDooey, but he was nowhere to be seen. Apart from my presence, the cave was completely empty. Now, whenever I recount this story, I can see the reaction of those who listen. They doubt my words, much as you are doing now. You think I imagined what happened to me. Due to fatigue and snow blindness, I experienced hallucinations. The shape in the mist was an optical illusion. Sunlight in the clouds created the impression of a great grey man. All I can tell you is this. This is what I know. I searched the cave. There was no trace of the presence of the big grey man of Ben McDooey. There was no clay pot, no blankets, no straw matters. But neither was there a whistle around my neck.